Amen.
You know, just try to keep that perspective. We're working on the kingdom of God together, right? Amen. Growing the kingdom of God together. So Pastor Bernice and Pastor Roy, I gave them 3 minutes each.
It's not going to happen.
I'm only kidding. I gave them five. No, I wanted them to share their heart, and Pastor Roy will follow Pastor Bernice, and then I'll finish up for the day. It's a good day, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
It's just awesome to know that as I said earlier, God doesn't look at a church being by the name, but it's who's in here. And when two or more are gathered, where is he?
In the midst.
In the midst of us, right?
Amen.
So that's what this is about today. We're celebrating a risen Savior. Pastor Bernice, would you come?
Yes.
Praise God.
Good morning, church. It's always a privilege and an honor to bring forth the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm really honored to be here in the company of my friends, brothers, and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
And this is the message that the Lord gave me. And we've all been in some way, shape, or form broken, wounded, rejected, mocked, betrayed, abused, and even bruised. And Jesus too, he was also broken, bruised, rejected, wounded. He was mocked. He was betrayed. Amen?
Amen.
And we've all seen the movies, even when we were young. We've seen the movies, the Ten Commandments. We've seen the movies of Jesus during Easter, during Passover. We've all seen the scene that Jesus was carrying, and he was carrying this heavy, heavy cross. And he was carrying this heavy cross, this heavy burden, and he even fell. And people tried to help him, and even the soldiers would stop him. But he was carrying this heavy cross. And this heavy cross, what he was carrying, it was wounds. He was carrying bruises. He was carrying rejection. He was carrying betrayal. He was carrying brokenness. Amen. And remember that as he was carrying, this happened after he was stricken and whipped 39 times. But it wasn't just a regular whip. If you recall in the Roman says, that rope, that whip at the end had pieces of shattered glasses. So he was whipped 39 times and he still carried that cross. Willingly carried that cross, sacrificially carried that cross. And for many of us, for years, we allow brokenness, we allow the bruises, we allow the mocking, we allow the rejection to steal our identity in Christ. When I was a young girl, my spirit was crushed. I was rejected. I was abused. I was broken. And because of that brokenness, because of that rejection, I really believed in my heart that that had a strong hold of me. And I didn't know who I was at that time. I really, really, throughout my years, as I started growing up, and from I went from a child to a young adolescent, to a young adult, to an adult. Still, those bruises, those wounds, that rejection, that mockery, that betrayal from friends, I kept carrying that heavy cross on me. Because I believed that nobody cared for me. I believed that I was no good for anybody. I really believed that this is how I was supposed to live. Not only was I physically abused, but the words, church, the words that get spoken to us, I think carry a heavier weight than a physical bruise, than a physical wound. Yes. Wounds can be healed, sometimes by a little band-aid, sometimes by surgery, but the words that are spoken to our spirit, they crush us. They really crush us. It had a lot of weight on me. Those words carried me for a long time into my early 30s. And then when I learned about God about 20 years ago, and I became saved, God healed me by His Spirit. Amen. Amen. By His Spirit. I started reading, and I started growing in His Word. His Word became my prescription. It became like medicine. Hallelujah. When you get sick and you go to the doctors, He prescribes something to you. He prescribes a drug or a prescription that is going to make you feel better. And the one thing that He tells you is do not skip any dosages. And it's for a reason, because if you skip, you're not going to get fully healed. So the Word of God is the same thing. When I gave my life to the Lord, He gave me His prescription, which was His Word, His living Word. His Word is still alive today, church. This is His living Word. This is manna. This is His bread. Amen. So just like the doctor, don't skip dosages. This is our prescription. This is the Word of God. This is the Word that's going to go right into you, and you are going to be healed by His Spirit, by His Word. Amen. Remember, the Word says that His Word, the Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And Isaiah 53:4-5, it says that the Lord Jesus willingly carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes, by His whippings, we are healed. Not that we may be healed, that we're going to be healed. We are healed today because of the work that Jesus did at the cross. Amen? And we're not just healed physically. When you think about healing, think about it. When you think about healing, a lot of people think, well, I'm sick and I want to get healed. But healing is more than being physically healed. There is power in Jesus when it comes to emotional healing and spiritual healing.
Amen.
By His Spirit, we can be healed also physically, emotionally, and spiritually. At the cross, remember that scene at the cross, when He was at the cross, He carried that cross all the way to Calvary. At the cross, they pierced His hands, they pierced His feet, they brought Him up. And towards the end, when He was about to take His last breath, He said, He gave us His Spirit, and He said, Father, into Your hand I commit my spirit.
Amen.
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 And it was a done deal, friends. It was done. It was finished. The work of Christ, healing became ours. Victory became ours. Amen? Amen. That's what the Word says. In Proverbs, the Word says, Proverbs 18:14. The Word says, the spirit of a man will sustain him from sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Can you bear a broken spirit? Amen. But the spirit of a man will sustain him from sickness. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God sustained the Lord while carrying that cross. He knew that God had a perfect plan. It wasn't plan B, C, and D. It was one plan, plan A. It's only one divine plan that the Lord God had for His Son, Jesus.
Amen.
And He did it. He sacrificially gave up His life. Walked with that cross heavy weight, carried all the way to Calvary. Even at the cross, while He was hanging, while He was suffocating, He took it all for us.
Yes.
Amen. He gave it all up for us.
Thank you, Lord.
But who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear it? I know for a fact that even when I got saved, even people that I thought loved me rejected me. Christians betrayed me. Church, that pain hurts. And even today, if I go by a friend or if I go by somebody that I thought really loved me and he says, you a pastor? Huh. Hey, that's a mocking. That's a rejection. Amen? but the Spirit of the Lord lives within me.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is the one that heals. Amen? So the Spirit of the Lord gives you the power to say, no, I do not receive that word. Because the Spirit that lives within me has made me more than a conqueror. And the word tells me, this is my prescription, and I take it every day. This is my dosage, and I don't skip a day. Every day, whether it's one chapter or one word of God, I commit to reading the word of God. I commit to taking my medicine. This is my spiritual medicine. And anything that you take spiritually will line up in the natural, will line up in the physical, will line up in the emotions that you have. Amen? By the word of God, by his Spirit, and if I hear any words come my way that are negative, that are contrary to the word of God, I say, no, I do not receive that. God doesn't call the qualifies, he qualifies the called. Amen. So if he called me a female pastor, so be it. It's God who called me. I didn't call myself. People didn't call me. It was God himself. I said, the Lord, you calling me to pastor Promise Christian Ministries? I don't believe that. I said, no, I do not want it. You need to confirm it. And guess what? Through the word of God, while I was taking my drugs, my prescription, right here, my medicine, God confirmed my calling through 2 Samuel chapter 7. Read it, and it will tell you how he called David to build the church, to prepare Solomon to build the church, the temple of God. And that's the same scripture he gave me to confirm my calling. So rejection has no place. Amen. Do not accept church. Do not accept rejection from anybody.
Amen.
Do not accept betrayal from anybody. You have the power to say no.
Amen.
God placed a perfect plan,
Amen.
A divine plan.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So he took that false identity that I was walking in once and gave me a new identity in him. And by his stripes, I've been healed. And not just physically, not just emotionally, but spiritually, I am healed because of the word. Because as you read the word, you get more and more and more of the word of God, and you become rich in the word, and you become rich. So when those negative words come your way, you got a positive word to bring forth. And I taught the church a few weeks ago, for every negative word that you speak, you need at least 5 positive words to cancel that negative word. And I know a lot of positive words from my medicine, from my prescription. So I said, no, devil, no, you're a liar. I am worthy. I'm the apple of God's eye. If he called me, he will equip me. Amen. For my calling. And I'm going to pursue his calling. Amen.
Amen.
And in Romans 8:11, this is what it says. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you.
Hallelujah.
So church, the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit that we have today. Amen. So today, receive the resurrection power that Jesus gave unto each and every one of us that is believer, that has said yes to the Lord, that has accepted him as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, you cannot mend something that has not been torn. You cannot restore something that has not been broken. You cannot heal something that has not been sick. Jesus on the cross took all that sickness, grief, burdens. He had to be broken in order for us to receive healing, the healing power at the cross, at the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, the word says, the Lord says in his word, he will turn your mourning into dancing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
He says sorrow may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And he did it all at the cross. He said he overcame.
Yes.
So because he overcame, we can we can be. Hallelujah. We can overcome anything that comes to us because we have the power, the resurrection power that the Lord Jesus left on the cross. Amen. We no longer have to live in darkness. We came into the light, and now we can walk, not with our heads down like I used to for years and years and years. That had a hold of me. That had my identity stolen. But now I walk with my head up high. Hallelujah. Christ did it for me. He's resurrected. He has healed me in the name of Jesus. And I will continue to praise his holy name because God has placed greatness in me, and he has placed greatness in you. Amen. And because of his resurrection power, you can achieve and you can reach your potential in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you can be victorious because Jesus already won the battle. He defeated the enemy. We're victors. We're no longer victims. Hallelujah. I'm not a victim. I'm victorious in Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me tell you, church, I'm here to tell you, spend time with God. This is your daily medicine. This is your dosage. Spend time with God. Take his daily prescription. Listen, church, give him permission to work in your life. Give him all your tears. Give him all your brokenness. Give him all your wounds. God, through the word, he will heal you. There is healing in his word. The word of God says that he mends the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. He restores the souls that are broken. It's in the word. And let me tell you, church, in concluding this, it is in his presence. It is in his presence that God can lead you to a plan of healing. Let me tell you, healing may not happen overnight, but I can promise you this, healing will come. Amen. Healing will come. Jesus is the Lord that heals. It is in his resurrection power, and it is today that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It is in his power, in his might, by his spirit, says the Lord, that we are healed. So receive today the healing power, the healing word, that by his spirit, we are healed, church. Amen? Amen. Amen. I pray you have a blessed day today, and remember the resurrection power that is found at the cross. So every day, remember the cross. Remember the blood of Jesus that he shed at Calvary for you and for me. Amen. Be blessed, church. Be blessed.
Yes, yes. Keep it going, keep it going. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Yeah, the Lord told me this morning, it's a day of victory. Isn't that good? Anyway, happy Easter. Oh, wait a second. Resurrection Day. You know, when we were growing our kids up, my wife would not allow us to say happy Easter. Of course, I was, you know, a heathen, so I said happy Easter, but... No, it's Resurrection Day. There's just so many names. Everybody gets confused all the time. Do you know that some people actually gave gifts? They thought it was Christmas. They got the names all... Yeah, the Easter Bunny got a gift, and he was very happy. You know why? He got a necklace. It's 24 carats. Just saying. I love Easter. I love Resurrection Day for the obvious reason, but I also love Resurrection Day for Cadbury eggs. And not just any ones. I don't like the gooey ones. It's got to be the little ones with the, and milk chocolate, not the dark chocolate now. I'm not giving you any hints or anything. If anyone wants to give me any, that's fine. But everything is so good. The flowers are coming up. Spring is in the air. Spring is in the air. The promise of summer is here. The promises I actually bought two sets of glasses today because I knew I was going to make a spectacle of myself. So I think I switch. yeah, anyway. My grandmother used to say, you have ugaba fresh. Any Italians in here? Yeah, it means you have a fresh head, whatever that means. I've been working on it, though. But, you know, but mostly, really, the thing I love about Resurrection Day is the joy that I can feel remembering the victory through what Christ has done for me and for us. That we have new life. We have a new life. I have to admit something, though. I know it's not a day of confession, or they don't call it confession anymore. They call it reconciliation now. If you're here, talk to any Catholics, they don't call it confession. They call it reconciliation. Right? I have to reconcile something this morning. I have a problem with this new life thing. See, because in order for me to embrace this new life that Christ has given me, I have to let something die. I have to let my old life die. And you know what? It doesn't want to die. I just keep telling it, die, dog, die. And it doesn't want to die. So I'm stuck. And I'm stuck, you know where I'm stuck? Mostly in my thinking, because that's where the battle is. We have a battle that's in our mind, you know that. The battle that we fight in the spirit is the battle for our mind. Is the spirit going to lead, or is our soul going to lead? The old man going to lead, or is the new man in Christ going to lead? See, I want to live as the new me. I really do. I want to live as the new me. I want to believe everything that Pastor Bernice said. I believe that. I want to believe it. I want to believe it maturely. I want to believe it in a measure that I could actually see it manifested. But the old me is... breaks in, and he's got this grip on me. And it's hard to break away from that old way of thinking. Even though there is really no other outcome that can come from old thinking except for stress, struggle, and perplexity. And even knowing that, the old man still rises up. It's probably because, and as long as I'm making confession before everybody the level of my belief has really not come to that place where I can see the manifestation of every promise in God to the degree that I want to. Now, sure, we've seen healings, and there's been a miraculous move of God in our church over the years, and I bless God for that. But that's not enough. I want more. I want everything that God has promised. I am a new creation. I'm a new man. I have a new thinking. I have the mind of Christ. But I guess I still have one foot in the old covenant. The old covenant is the law. And one foot in the new covenant promise of grace. And as a Christian, I'm to live by that covenant. The old covenant has been fulfilled in Christ. I love it. You know, the promise, the victory that we have is that the spirit of death has passed us. It's passed over us because of what? The blood of the Lamb. In Israel, it was regular lambs. But for us, the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lord, has covered everything that the old man would try to bring up again. It's dead. Right? Amen anytime. It's good. I'm for like congregational amening. It's always good. So anyway, I got this problem, you know, going back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament. I want to live by the grace of God, and yet the old man is going, "No, you're a sinner. Sounds like that too. Actually worse, but I don't really want to get into it that way. But really, if you look at the scripture, it makes it clear that Jesus was sent through the mercy of God to bring an end to that first covenant. Amen? Because that covenant focused on what? Sin and death. And he came to introduce a new covenant, that new covenant of grace, which brings with it life. And he sealed it. He paid for it in full with his blood. with his suffering, with his sacrifice. And you know what happened? When you and I accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts, I'm assuming that we all have. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, then. You don't want me to get into the gospel, you know, the Southern gospel thing, do you? Come on now, church. But when he paid for that, he sealed it. He came, he spoke it, he did it. He sealed it with his blood. When that happened for me, I entered into the assurance of that new covenant promise. The old covenant's dominion over me has ended. Why? Because he's fulfilled the requirements that it had for me. He did it for me. You don't believe me? Colossians 2, 13 through 15, I'm going to read it to you. And you being dead in your trespasses, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way. Say it with me. He has taken it out of the way. Having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them in it. Now that sounds pretty definitive, doesn't it? New man, new man, new man, new man. That stuff is out of the way. Now I can say definitively, I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. But when I lose focus of that, when I lose focus, and folks, we got to focus on this every day. This is going to the cross. This is what this means. This is what it means to die daily. What has to die daily? It's our old mindset. We have to be intentional about bringing it to the cross. Saying, this is the old man. No, I'm bringing that to the cross. And I got to do it daily because that old man wants to keep on rising up like the night of the living dead. You know, there's something behind this zombie thing that's prophetic. I got to figure it out. But this old man wants to arise. But it's dead. But it's dead. I'm a new creation in Christ. But when I lose focus, my default, everybody who's familiar with computers understands that, right? You have a default setting. My default setting goes back to the old man, to that lesser way of thinking. And what happens? That leads me into the areas of struggle and perplexity and I should, I shouldn't, you should know from it. You know, when I'm in that place and I go back to that natural default setting, God can't even help me. Now you say, well, God could do anything, but wait a second. Didn't God send himself in Jesus Christ to take care of everything that we just talked about, which we just read? Didn't he nail it to the cross? Didn't he make a public spectacle out of it? Do you think God is going to take the time to start dealing with stuff he's already dealt with? He's going, dummy, I already gave you the answer. Start moving in it. Now, he doesn't call you dummies. He just calls me dummy. He knows me. He knows me. He loves me, but, you know, dumb is dumb. What are you going to do? That's the way it is. See, he's already provided a solution to the problem. He's not going to deal with dead things. So, if I don't put on the mind of Christ and start moving in the mind of Christ, what happens is I remain detained by my own impediments, by my own mindset. And that doesn't allow me to proceed to the place of breakthrough that we all want to see in our lives. Let go of the old thinking. You don't know how to do it, just go, Lord, help. If you don't know anything else, Psalm 12, first line, help! Say it with me. Help! He hears that. No, we're all laughing, and I'm trying to make it light. But the point is, God hears that cry from his people. You know, he knows that we He knows the level of faith we have. I don't want to keep saying we're dumb, but you know what I mean. We're dull, I should say it that way. We want to, we just, for some reason, we got our one foot in the Old Testament ways. Maybe it's because we really have been taught that over the years in church. I'm not blaming the church, but you know, that's what we were taught. Anytime we talk about grace, you always hear, yes, but brother, there is sin. Well, the way I'm reading the scripture is that sin was taken care of at the cross. Are we Christians or not? I'm just saying. I got to let go. And when I do, I'm right there in God's presence. How do I know that? Because what dwells in me? What dwells in you as Christians? Who? The Holy Spirit. Last time I checked, He was God. Right? God dwells in you. God is still creating you. He didn't just create you once and say, okay, man, you're on your own. Go do it. He's still creating us. We have an audience through the blood of Jesus Christ into the throne room of God through the Holy Spirit given. The Holy Spirit is not just about gifts. It's not just about speaking in tongues and prophesying and all the beautiful gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift. He's the gift and He's active. He's the Word of God, active and living in us right now with the power to transform us if we give ourselves to Him. And because of that, the Scripture says that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. See, I may be here on the earth. I'm an illusion to you. This is an illusion. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm not kidding. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ, the new man, the new creation. And the mind of Christ, folks, is not sin-focused. The mind of Christ is only focused on righteousness and truth. So when the old man says, and he does, well, I want to do what's right, but I just can't. Sin has got a hold on me. My new man rises up, and it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the old man says, but look, you know, yeah, you got the grace, but you know, sin dwells in you. Jesus said, he that is dead is free from sin. And then my new man proclaims, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live through and by the faith of the Son of God who loves me, who loved me, loves me, and will forever love me. And He proved it, didn't He? He gave His life for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. See, my old self wants to look at my behavior. I'm in the car, I'm on the road, somebody cuts me off, and I'm like, that's my behavior. That's probably your behavior, if you're honest. Managia. My old self wants to look at that behavior, but you see, the thing is, even though it's true that I behave that way, he wants to take what's merely true and transform it into a truth. My new man looks at my identity in Jesus, not my behavior. And he rejoices in who Christ is in me. And that is the truth. So as I look at Jesus in me, I actually become what I behold. Right? You will always become what you behold. If you're focused on sin, all you're going to do is see sin. Eventually, that sin is going to take you over because you have just been focused on that particular thing. But I don't look to that. I repent of that. I bring that to the cross. I say, Lord, this I'm bringing to you to nail to the cross, that I can live the mind of Christ, that I can live in the grace that you have paid for so dearly with your blood. And as I look at Jesus, I actually become like him. 1 John 3 says, Beloved, now we are children of God. And we all are, aren't we? But it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, the difference is between my state, or how I see myself in the flesh, and my standing, who I am in Christ. And it is for that freedom, the freedom to walk in the new man, the liberty of the new man, that Christ has set me free. And it's that victory that we celebrate today. It's that victory that we celebrate today. Today is Resurrection Day. And it's not over now, after today. 40 days from now, Jesus Christ will have been ascended to the Father. And 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit has been given at Pentecost. Hallelujah! This is Easter tide. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. There's great joy. Great joy in the house. I'm a new creation. The old man is dead. Long live the new man. I'm going to close, but I wanted to just close with a little vision that I had this morning. And I hope nobody's offended by it, because this was given to me by the Lord, so you just take it the way it is. For those of you who are old enough and you remember World War II, or you've seen movies or whatever, at the end of World War II, there was great rejoicing in America, all over the world, because a great evil was defeated. Many people equated Hitler, Adolf Hitler, as one of the most evil men that ever lived on the earth in history. The devil himself, the murder and just the depravity of the man. And so there was a great joy when his armies were defeated. And there was a picture, that's a famous picture, of this sailor came off the boat and was bent over and kissing this nurse. This great joy. And the Lord said, this is what I want you to vision today. My Christ kissing his church. Rejoice today, folks. Happy Resurrection Day, because the Lord has given you great victory over a great evil. We don't have to walk in that any longer. Amen? Yeah. All right. God bless you. Praise God.
Praise God. Pastor Roy, I got a question for you real quick. That voice that says you're a sinner, is that a high-pitched voice by chance? I was just wondering. Praise God. Praise God. Because I know I live with the Holy Spirit. Very high-pitched. Very high-pitched. Good messages. Right? Power of God to heal. We're new creations in Christ. Awesome, right? And we're going to live forever somewhere. For those of us in Christ, we're going to be with God. For those of us who are not, they will live, but a different place. And I want to the message that I have for you today is, Jesus overcame a grave situation. Didn't he? He overcame a grave situation. Now, you know what? I think, even though we're celebrating today and we're rejoicing in the Lord, I think there are some situations that are present in our lives today that are grave. They are. What is a grave situation? It's something that's serious. It's something that's sad. It's almost like when a loved one is sick, you know, and I think I have a Pastor Phil right now who would love to be here today, and he's in a hospital. It's a grave situation. It could be a time of serious danger, something that would bring us great harm. But the absolute gravest situation that we all will face is death. That's you know what? If you go broke, not a problem, right? If you get sick, okay, it's tough. It's tough. But the gravest situation is death. And today we celebrate the fact that Jesus overcame the grave, right? He defeated death. Say that with me. He defeated death. Amen. We worship a risen Savior, a living Savior, who promised to do what? Give us immortality. But only to those who believe in him. No longer do men and women need to live in the darkness of hopelessness. You see, it's really great today coming together, worshiping the Lord, and there's an energy here. I tell you, there's an energy here. It's because you came with a desire to exalt the Lord. You can do this every day. Every time you gather together with your own church, you can have the same experience time and time and time again. But I think sometimes we get into this because of the situations that we have in our lives. We walk through those doors and it's not as exciting because you didn't come expecting something. But you expected something today, didn't you? You expected to hear an encouraging word from the Lord, and we've gotten that, right? But it doesn't have to end here, as Pastor Roy said. Tomorrow when you get up, thank the Lord he is risen. Amen. Right? Amen. Tomorrow when you get up, the next day, the next day, the next day, until you go home. Because what's going to make us different from the rest of the world is the hope that we have. And it will be seen in our face. It will be seen in our lives. Because the world out there is hopeless. They have no hope. They don't even know they're lost. How's that? They don't even know they're lost. But death carries with it a certain terror, doesn't it? From the death of Abel, when he was killed, since that time, people have dreaded death. Now, you and I know, like, when we die, we're going to go to heaven, right? Yay, right? Praise God. Who wants to die? Raise your hand. Wait a minute. When we go, we're going to go to heaven, right, when we die, right? Yay, praise God. Who wants to die? I thought you want to go to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? You got to die to get there. Don't you? Praise God. Praise God. Death has been an enemy, a great enemy. It's a mysterious monster that makes people quake with fear. I wonder if I knew tomorrow I was going to die, what would I be like today? Would I be like, Pat, you know, I love you, honey, but I'm going to that great place of pepperoni in the sky. Right? I'm going where pepperoni is abundant. Where ice cream flows from the fountains. That's where I wear my ice cream pants. But no, we do. When we hear of somebody that's passing on, and naturally we hurt because there's a loved one or even ourselves going through a very tough time. And at that moment, it doesn't matter what house I live in, it doesn't matter how much I have in the bank, death seems to be very big and very real at that point, doesn't it? So death stalks around, and he stalks the rich, he stalks the poor, he stalks the educated, he stalks the uneducated. He's no respecter of race, color, or creed. Its shadow worries people day and night. We never know the moment is when we're going to die, when it will come for us. But is there any hope? Is there a possibility of immortality? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, your iBible, a Bible, a Bible, I'll be in verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for this trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So resurrection really is the final defeat of death. That's what this means today. Jesus overcame the grave. He overcame every situation that you and I find ourselves in, the gravest of situations that we can find ourselves in, even to the point of death. He overcame the grave. You see, a resurrected body is not a resuscitated corpse. Pastor Roy was just saying, we're being made new day by day. You're in a process. You know, you look much better in the future than you do right now. You really do. You guys will look a lot better next week. And you'll keep looking better and better as long as you continue to stay with your Lord and you're walking with him and you're taking your medicine, as we heard today, right? Staying connected to the vine. But a resurrected body will never die. Hallelujah. Death defeated by resurrection. So death has no power over the person in Christ Jesus. Charles Spurgeon writes this, I will not fear thee, death. Why should I? Thou lookest like a dragon, but thy sting is gone. Thy teeth are broken. O old lion, wherefore should I fear thee? I know thou art no more able to destroy me, but thou art sent as a messenger to conduct me to the golden gate, where I shall enter and see my Savior's unveiled face forever. Amen. Expiring saints have often said that their last beds have been the best that they ever slept on. Woo, praise God, right? For those who are in Christ Jesus, no sting of death. But for those of us that don't know Jesus, the sting remains. You see, the sting of death is one being in the position of having had sin, you're summoned to appear before God, whom they may have offended, which the Bible tells us every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Right? So for those of us that are in Christ, the death has no more pain. You know, if anybody gets stung by a bee, it hurts, don't it? The sting of death doesn't have us anymore because we know that we pass from life to life. I've shared this a number of times. I said, one of the greatest things that I get to do is funerals. No, I'm not warped. But why do I like to do funerals? Because it is there that you speak to a large group of unbelievers at times. And I understand the pain. They don't have any hope. The sting of death is real. They don't know if they're going to ever see their loved one again. But those of us that are in Christ, and when you do a funeral for a believer, it's a celebration. Because why? It's only a momentary separation. Right? It's only a momentary separation. We're here for just a short time. My mom and dad went to the store about 18 years ago. Well, my dad stayed there. My mom came back. And then she went back to the store 9 years ago. And she hasn't come back. But you know what I do know? I'll see them again. So now death no longer has a sting. It doesn't hurt. But for those of us who don't know the Lord, for those of us that are walking as unbelievers, that are stuck in our sin, we're going to see God. Every creature is going to see God, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Right? But for us in Christ, we're no longer subject to the penalty of law, which was what? Death. We're set free from sin. Sin in the ultimate cause of death, and the result cannot be defeated unless the cause was defeated also. This defeat of death is only possible for those who live through our Lord Jesus Christ. For others, there's a resurrection to an eternal life, but it is to damnation. You see, don't ever think, whether you believe it or not, the fact that he rose again, the fact that over 500 people saw him, the fact he walked on this planet for 40 days after he was crucified, the fact that there's so many eyewitness accounts, our hope is based on fact. It's not based on wishful thinking. Amen. What he said is true. What he said is true. So we don't need to waver. And I appreciate Pastor Roy's honesty. And I think later on we're all going to lay hands on Pastor Roy so he can get free. But I think we can all identify with him, can't we? Because, I love the Lord. Sure, I'm walking with Jesus right on. Yeah. And in the background, there's Marie talking. There's Pat talking. You know, we have overcome because he overcame. Amen. He overcame. Praise God. We know death is defeated. We have an eternal resurrected destiny with Jesus Christ. Now, what does he tell us in the end of the scriptures? He says, stand firm. Stand firm. Because why? It's a challenge right to the end, folks. Do you think, you know what? Let's just think about Passion Week. Right? We just came through Passion Week. And Good Friday was the day where Christ was crucified. He went through six trials. He went through six trials overnight. All that he faced, all that he did, crucified on the cross, but then again, rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We know death is defeated. We have a resurrected destiny with Jesus. We need to stand firm. Because as Jesus was on the cross, right up until the point he gave up his spirit and said, it is finished, he was being challenged. Guess what? We heard pick up your cross daily. Every day, you're going to be challenged. Every day, you got that old man talking back there. Every day, the enemy's trying to do something every day, isn't he? But Paul says, stand firm, stand firm. Stand firm, because if you do, understand this, that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. We don't need to waver. We don't need to change direction. We don't need to fall. We don't need to quit. He will show us by remembering the work he did for us. And that's why we take communion, don't we? We can't take communion today. We're celebrating. We're celebrating today, right? But when we look at the communion cup and when we look at the bread, we need to be reminded over and over again of what he did for us. And we can leave every time. We can leave a church service. We can leave a gathering of believers in victory. And I don't know about you, but I need to be strengthened during the week. I need the support of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so grateful that I have other pastors that we can pray with and other men and women of God. Because you know what? I get tired. I get weak. But I get that refill. I get that refill. So Jesus said in this, and I'm going to close with this, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. 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 See, I'm grateful that this body isn't going with me to heaven. I can use a new one. Why are you laughing? That's not nice. At my expense. But no, a resurrected body that's capable and able to live in the presence of God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And I know that, you know, just blink your eye. That's how long it's going to take, less than that, when you leave this earth and are with the Lord. So you're never going to die. You're never going to die. Your physical body's going to die, but you're never going to die. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Had it not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would have no hope. We would have absolutely no hope. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Bow your hearts with me, please. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the words that have come forth today, Lord. Challenging, encouraging, strengthening, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for the whole service, Lord. Lord, I don't know everybody in this room. I don't need to know everybody in this room, but you do. And Father, I would be remiss if I didn't give someone today the opportunity to say, you know what? I've listened to these messages. I've never seen this before. I've never understood this before. But something's speaking to my heart right now. Jesus isn't my Lord and Savior. I've heard, I've witnessed, I've seen, but I want to know. While your eyes are closed and your hearts are bowed, I would ask you this morning, remember this, we're all going to live somewhere when we leave this earth. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, he's making an invitation to you. And I'm not going to ask you to come up here. It's not about that. It's about just getting right with God. And we want you to leave this place with hope, a newfound relationship, a new life in Christ. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would you just slip up your hand real quick? God bless you. Put that hand down. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you all stand with me right now, please? We're going to pray a prayer because someone was brave enough and said, you know what? I need Jesus as my Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just say this prayer together. Father God, I thank you for the message today. And I realize that I'm a sinner. But I also realize today that Jesus came to pay my sin. To give me new life. And that I could find a relationship with you. So Father, forgive me for all my sin. And I receive today the work of Jesus, the love of Jesus that he displayed for me. And I thank you that you are today my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord God. Worthy are you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you guys. You may be seated. God is good. He saved the soul.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And we pray that throughout this land that people today maybe have never known Jesus, that today is a beginning of a brand new life for them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.